Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4097.
Dodging the blues, but the blues were gaining fast. Riding the news, knowing news just doesn't last. Heaven comes seven with the rolling of the bones, but winning never feels like going home. You're thick at the bottom, thin at the top, like a bottle shaking with a cork that wouldn't pop. Pretending and descending to the land of war. Oh, life's not what you think, it's what you know. So take it downtown tonight, and when nobody's looking, you can slip it out of sight. Since you're devil bound, it's hell downtown tonight.
His name is John Gorka, G-O-R-K-A. It is from a brand new record, a 2016 record, available at iTunes for $9.99. And the name of the record is Before Beginning. These are tracks that he recorded a long time ago. Before Beginning, that's why the name of the record is that. I'm taking today's show title from a lyric that you've already heard him sing in this song. The name of the song is Downtown Tonight.
Pretending and descending to the land of woe. Oh, when you give your hand to fate, she don't let go. So take it downtown tonight. And when nobody's looking, you can slip it out of sight. Since you're devil bound, it's hell downtown tonight. We'll dodge in the blues, but the blues were gaining fast. Right in the news, knowing news just doesn't last. Heaven comes seven with the rolling of the bones. Oh, life's not what you think, it's what you know.
John Gorka, he's an all-time favorite. I was looking through my CD library, and I have, there might be one, maybe two CDs, and he has a lot of CDs that I do not have. I do have this. I did purchase this. This is the latest from him, called Before Beginning, John Gorka, G-O-R-K-A. You should check him out. The title is that lyric that he wrote, Life's Not What You Think, It's What You Know. Lately, I've had a number of interesting conversations about perspectives and filters. You know, those things that form how we look at the world and our lives. You might be familiar with Snapchat filters. That's all the rage, you know. It changes how you see things. It's all that sum total stuff, you know, that largely makes us who we are. Yep, we can make up our own minds. We can decide for ourselves. But some of us may have to change how we see things, or something might have to happen in our lives. Usually it's something fairly significant, because it usually takes something significant to cause us to question some prior view, or it certainly needs a monumental change, usually, to cause us to alter our behavior. That's why there are things like interventions. We talked a little bit in some prior episodes about inner critics and all that head trash that challenges all of us. You can check out episode 4086. Check that one out. A big part of the inner critic is forged by these filters, forged by these viewpoints that we hold to be true. I mean, never mind that they're mostly inaccurate, or that they can be. Some are even foolish. And some, when we're in a rational state, they're just completely unbelievable, and yet we still believe them. And we can all have, and we can all exercise a profound ability. Think about this. We can have a profound ability. All of us can. This is the brilliance of the human mind. that we can hold two contradictory ideas at the same time. That's why right now, as I'm talking to you, as you're listening to me in your earbuds, you can believe that there you have an idea and it will succeed. And simultaneously, you can also believe it'll never get off the ground. Welcome to the Thunderdome of the mind, where two thoughts enter, but only one is able to ultimately survive. You know, too often thoughts of failure, that's the one that wins. And I know that because failure is far more common than success. That's the paradox of today's show title. What you think becomes what you know, well, or it can. So let's tighten up our wrestling shoes, shall we? And let's hit the mat and see if we can't wrestle down a few thoughts and find some things that we can know. It's a quest for us to find our way. Annabelle, that's her last name. It's a 2015 record. Available at iTunes for $8.99. The name of the record is The Simple Fear. The name of this song is Find My Way. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. Here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, we are trying to find our way. We're always trying to find our way. It is Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. That is the pursuit of wisdom. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm going to begin by making two declarations. Number one, I am not a neuroscience expert. That means I don't have any formal training as a psychologist, a mental health professional, or whatever the kind of brain guruism exists out there. I'm pretty well read, though, and I'm curious about it, and I've learned a lot about it, so there's that. Number two, this is going to be an upbeat conversation. Well, I'm going to try to make it be an upbeat conversation. I mean, come on. It's a podcast, and so that necessarily is going to make it a monologue, I guess, more than a conversation because, well, I don't do interview shows. Well, not usually, and today's usual. This is just me, just you and me. It's just you and me talking, and I'm going to try to make it as upbeat and positive as I can because I know the world needs that and the world likes that, and it's real easy for me to get melancholy and blue and all that. I use the word, I'm going to use the word possible because when it's all said and done, by me today, of course, on this show, because I'm the one doing the talking, I want to leave you hopeful. I want to leave you optimistic. I want to leave you feeling empowered to serve yourself better by moving from merely thinking to knowing. And mostly I want you to know, that is, I want you to be fully convinced of what's possible. Right? So I would like to help you move from possibility thinking to what we'll call possibility knowing. And I'm intentionally using that word possible and possibility and not probable. Right? Because this is your life. And I don't know what's possible. It's likely that you have a pretty good idea. I mean, unless you're a kid, in which case you might not even have a clue. Which really means that you think anything is possible. I have grandkids and they're young enough to believe that anything is possible. I mean, you know, want to be an astronaut? Go for it. I mean, if you're a kid, dreaming fosters possibility thinking. The problem is we let the world beat that out of us. Okay, well, don't let the world beat that out of you, and even though it already has, and try to get it back. Yeah, I wish I knew how to tell you how to prevent that, but I don't. Because it's just the world, right? I mean, we're just living here and we're surrounded by it. And what are you going to do? You can't hole up in a cave. Well, you could, but I wouldn't advise it. All I know to do is to tell you, don't listen to what the world tells you. Embrace whatever crazy notion that you want. Hang on to it for as long as you can. And maybe if you can hang on to it for a very long time, it'll become part of the fabric of who you are. Now, I'm not talking about delusion, and I'm not talking about illusion. I'm talking about reality. Possibility knowing is about what you're honestly capable of. Something, or many things, perhaps, that are perfectly within your reach. So we've got to start with that. I mean, you have to have some talent, some natural aptitude for it. We're not talking about wishful thinking here. And right now, you may not think so, whatever this thing is. You might not think that it's possible, but that's why this is about moving from thinking to knowing.
Promises made, there's no grand design or secret truth I've saved. But I've chased my dreams and they've chased me. Nothing ventured, nothing's gained, but nothing's for free. If you go down to the river to pray, you want a curse and you fade anyway. Sometimes you've got to plant your feet and stay. Sometimes you break away. I'd rather swim upstream, but that's no deterrent. It just makes me mean. So don't throw me a lifeline, for fear I'll go down.
fade anyway. Sometimes you got to plant your feet and stay. Sometimes you break away.
Name of the band is Dark Horse Flyer. F-L-Y-E-R. Dark Horse Flyer. It's a 2014 record. Okay, it's a CD for me. $7.99. You can get it at iTunes. The name of the, the name of the record is the same name as the song. This is the title track, Breakaway. I admit, they're kind of, it's an odd deal. It's a great groove, and it's great music. Is it me? I mean, the lead singer, it just, I don't know. He's got a good voice. It's not that. He just, it just doesn't quite fit, does it? I mean, is it me? Maybe.
And he rides you. Take a chance, twist that tail. Now who's got who? If you go down to the river to pray, you wind a person, you fade anyway. Sometimes you got to plant your feet and stay. Sometimes you got to plant your feet and stay. Sometimes you got to plant your feet and stay. Sometimes you break away.
And that's why you're listening to it, because it is sometimes about breaking away. It's about breaking away from old habits. It's about breaking away from maybe stinking thinking. Is it Zig Ziglar that used to say that? And that may be the hardest part of it. That may be the most of it. Especially to break away from these thinking habits. It can be really, really, really hard work. Now, don't fret, because you can do it. There's only one ingredient that you need to have to do the hard work of breaking away from wrong-headed thinking that's holding you back, and I'm going to give it to you. It's magical. It really is. Are you ready? Here's the word: willingness. Willingness. You need to be willing. Are you willing to do the work that just might make all the difference in your life? That's all you have to bring. Okay, well, it's actually quite a lot, really. Truth is, most people are not willing, and the reason they're not willing is because it's hard. And we all want easy. But you've likely heard me say many times before my favorite quote that I can't ascribe to anybody because I don't know who said it. Everything is hard until it's easy. So today I'm proposing, let's put in the hard work. And now as we lean toward wisdom to make things easier. Okay, but they've got to be hard first. So, okay, that's fine. Let's embrace it, shall we? Easton is my 3-year-old grandson, and I'm going to post over at the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Just go to this episode. Just search for episode 4097. And if you're listening to this in recent time, as I'm hitting the record button, today is August the 27th, 2016. Easton is 3 years old. Well, this past weekend, in the span of about, I don't know, half an hour, he learned to ride a bike. Now, he had been riding one of these, I don't know what they call them, these, I want to call it a strider. Think of a bicycle that has no pedals, doesn't have training wheels. You just kind of drag your feet and scoot your feet along, and it kind of teaches a kid, before they learn to ride a bike, balance. So he's had one of those. So in about the span of a half an hour, he learned to, okay, put his pedals up on this bike and start pedaling it. And he didn't just barely learn. I mean, he really learned. In fact, I'm going to put a video over at the show notes, leaningtowardwisdom.com. It's episode 4097. You can see a video of Easton following his sister. Mom is behind. She's recording this. And of course, little sister, she's running ahead of him. And it's funny. He's looking down and she tells him, don't look at your feet. Don't look at your feet. His big sister, who's 5. You know, don't look at your feet. Don't look at your, look at me, look at me. But it's proof that even things that can be hard when you're like a 3-year-old, and it can seem, man, ridiculously hard to ride a bike, but he got it down in about half an hour. And while yeah, okay, he had to think about it for a little while, but not very long. One of the best examples of this everything is hard until it's easy idea really is a TV spot that I couldn't have made a TV spot more fitting for that phrase, everything is hard until it's easy, than that spot by Experian. And this is one of those deals where I know the commercial, I have no idea what they're advertising. It's a phenomenon in advertising. Some of the most creative stuff. And it's like, man, you can remember the ad. You can't remember the company, and you can't remember what in the Sam Hill the service of the product is. And this is one of those. And I think I'm going to embed that over the show notes as well. Again, leaningtowardwisdom.com. And I think it's Be Better or something like that. You can find it over at YouTube, and that's where I found it and embedded it. But play that. And it shows people failing. Everything's hard till it's easy. But your own life has taught you that. I mean, you don't need these samples. You don't need these videos to show you that. They're interesting. They're funny to look at. I hope you do. But simple things like riding a bike can be hard when you have not yet learned how to do it. Once you know how to do it, well, you just do it without thinking about it. I learned to type when I was in junior high on the old Olympia, manual typewriters. And I mean, the action on these, you know, the distance that you had to press the key was crazy just to make an imprint on the paper. I don't know how we did it. I really don't. I couldn't go back and do that now. I don't think I've got the finger strength to do it. I mean, you have to have this 5-finger death Bruce Lee grip to be able to do it. But I learned how to type that long ago. And now that I'm, you know, a dinosaur, I don't think about it. I just, my fingers just start going. I'm really jealous of guitarists because I can see guitar players in that same thing that I am able to do on a keyboard, they're able to do on a fretboard. And I so can't do that. I can't even chord a guitar hardly. And I'm like, yeah, man, but everything's hard until it's easy. Do you think it's possible to intentionally shift your thinking that something is possible to knowing that it's possible? Did that make sense? Do you think it's possible for you to intentionally, willfully shift your thinking that something is possible to knowing that it is? Can you make up your mind to know something? Here in the U.S., we are in the midst of a heated campaign to elect a new president. It's funny, I saw a photograph somebody posted on social media, and I don't know that this is recent for this current election, but it was certainly fitting. Someone had posted a sign, if I can find it here. I want to get the quote just right. I didn't intend on using this, but I'm going to. And there was one of these, you know, these kind of signs where you can change the lettering on it. And somebody had put on a sign, what if nobody was president and we all promised real hard to just be cool? It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But we're in the midst of this campaign here in America, and there are people who are fully convinced that Hillary Clinton should be the next president. And then there are others who are equally convinced that she will ruin the country. Now, on the other side are those people who think that Donald Trump is a buffoon and others who think that he'll make America great again. They can't all be correct, but if you ask them, they will tell you that they know they are. Proof that people can make up their minds to know something to be true. Okay, maybe it's just anecdotal. I told you I wasn't a neuroscientist, but that seems pretty compelling to me, doesn't it? That people can make up their mind to know something, believe something so strongly that they know it's true. In February of this year, I heard a noted economist give a keynote speech to a bunch of business leaders, and he talked a bit in this presentation about how Americans think that the dominant economy in the world is China. He threw the number out there, and it was a crazy number. I mean, it was a very, very high number. The percentage of Americans that believe that China has the dominant economy in the world. People that just, they know it's true. But they're wrong. China accounts for about 13.4% of the global economy. Europe, which we hear nothing about, Europe accounts for about 25.2%. China, 13.4%. Europe, 25.2%. But we think Europe, I mean, we think China's the, right there, the 900-pound gorilla. Perception, what we think is reality. It's what we know to be true. All the media, including web-based media like blogs and podcasts, they flood us with facts, and I'm using those air quotes, facts that seem reasonable. They even seem true. China has about 1.4 billion people. 1.4 billion people. Europe, all of Europe has about 750 million. Well, duh, come on. You've got twice as many people in China. It seems reasonable that China would occupy a bigger part of the world economy, doesn't it? Absolutely. Does to me. It is reasonable. The problem is it's wrong. Just like some of those thoughts that you hold near and dear, some of those things that you believe, and they suppress your success, they damage your ability to move forward. Listen, there are lots of things that are reasonable, but they're not true. And there are some things that are unreasonable that are completely true. Don't worry about it. Don't fret. You're not alone in your fallacious thinking, because we're all prone to it. Yes, I've played this before, but it's great. That's why I'm playing it again. Go ahead, get up. Dance if you want. Tap your feet.
I'm so tired of being alone. Tired of on my own. Won't you help me, girl, as soon as you can? People say that I found a way to make you say that you love me. You didn't go for that, because it's a natural fact that I want to come back. Show me where it's at, baby. I'm so tired of being alone, tired of on my own. Won't you help me, girl, as soon as you can? I guess you know that I love you so.
I'm going to practice that scream as soon as I quit recording. I may record it. You wouldn't think Al Green could be topped, and I'm not saying that he can, but the boys are close. These are the Subdudes. Some Nolans boys. 1991 CD in my collection. You can download it for $9.99 at iTunes. The name of the record is Lucky. Yes, it's Al Green's classic. Tired of being alone. Well, you're not alone in your stinking thinking. We're all prone to it.
Well, you don't have to be tired of being alone, because you're not alone.
And I don't know what your challenges are. I don't know what your limiting beliefs are. I don't know what your head trash is, but you do. So I want you to think about them. Well, like you can stop. Like there's any way you could avoid thinking about what you think about that damages you. No, you likely think about it all the time. You might even be obsessed by it. Why is that? Why is that the endless loop tape that rolls around in our brain? I mean, why don't we have a tape that repeats positive possibilities? I'll tell you why. Because failure isn't just an option, it's a likelihood. There are two things that just irk me to no end. Well, there's way more than that, but there's two that come to mind as I'm talking about this topic. And one is people that say, well, failure's not an option. Failure's not only an option, it's a likelihood, dude. The other is giving 110%. I'm going to give 10% more than is even possible. You're only giving 100%. I'm giving 110%. I got you beat by 10%. Failure, it's a likelihood because it happens more often than not. And maybe, just maybe, we would rather be right. Think about this now, because I got really twisted up as I was preparing for this show, thinking about this one. Maybe, just maybe, we would rather be right about our prediction of failure than to experience success and prove that our false assumptions are wrong. Okay, did I lose you? Think about that. I'm convinced that this won't work, whatever this might be. I'm just full of self-loathing and fear and stinking thinking, as Zig would say. That's what I'm thinking. That's my assumption. My assumption is there's no way that this will work. And maybe, just maybe, I'd rather be right about that prediction of failure, than to experience success and go, I didn't think it'd work. Looky there, it did. I'm fascinated. I've long questioned it anymore. I've lived long enough on the planet that I don't so much anymore. You'll see an interview, or you hear an interview with somebody that's achieved just crazy success, and the interviewer will say, well, when you started out, were you thinking this? And invariably, now some will say, well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I believed I was going to conquer the world. But mostly, and who knows if they're telling the truth or not, who knows if they even know, but mostly I seem to hear people say, you know, I didn't have any idea. I mean, I was just trying to do this one little thing. And the next thing you know, this happened, and then that happened, and then it's this big deal. And here's what I believe. I don't know this, but I believe it, so I'm working toward knowing it. I think that's probably a lot more right than not, that people just start out, and we want to think that success is so strategic. And I'm not saying that there aren't strategic components to it, and be thoughtful and be intentional about it. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that we look at people who have climbed the top of the mountain, and we assume that while they were down at base camp, right here with the rest of us who are failing and staring up at the mountain and going, you kidding me? There's no way I'm going to make that. I don't know that they were, I just am not convinced that they saw it unfold as it unfold, like it unfolded. I've never had anything in my life work like that. Have you? I'd love to hear from you. If you've been able to just map out something and it's just all your wildest dreams have come true exactly the way that you thought they would, I would love to hear from you. You have got to be an outlier. Did I say outlier? Outlier. So I'm kind of fascinated if sometimes in the back of our head we're thinking, you know, I know this isn't going to make it. See there, I told you so. As opposed to we do make it and then we go, well, I got that wrong. You've said it before to yourself. See, I told you it wouldn't work. We've all looked in the rearview mirror and we've said it to ourselves. Some of us have said it out loud to other people. I mean, like, that's something to brag about. Like, see, I was right. I was perfectly right. Told you I would fail. Now, sadly, sometimes we're more proud of being able to make that statement, I think. Sometimes I think we're more proud of the prediction of failure than we would the success that would be possible. Because then we'd have to say, well, I was wrong. Look at that. Worked magnificently. Wouldn't you love to do that? Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, I got that all wrong, kids. Look at that. Colossal success. This isn't about being right, though. It's about making our brain work to our favor instead of against us. And you would think that naturally it would work to our favor. And I think it does. And there's all kinds of people that have written and spoken about that, like Seth Godin and the lizard brain and all this stuff. I don't know. I don't know about any of that. But you're not talking to a guy who believes in evolution. So there's that. Are you willing to be wrong so you can be right? There's a philosophical question, if ever I heard one. Are you willing to be wrong so that you can be right? And that's what I'm urging you to do. I know it sounds crazy, but it's no crazier than you holding two completely contradictory thoughts at the same time. One believing, I think this will work, and the other saying, no, there's no way it'll work. One of those thoughts is going to be right, and the other is going to be wrong. And I think we both know which one belongs in the loss column. It's up to you to put it there. That's right. I mean, who else is going to put it there? Habits keep us where we are. If we're in the habit of making our brain work to our favor, it gets easier, I think, much like Easton riding a bicycle. Unfortunately, I don't think that many of us have mastered the habit. I know I haven't. I would love to tell you that I have, but I have not. Forming the habit is difficult because routine is such a big component in our daily lives. Mostly, we do today what we did yesterday. Today's Saturday. Well, who cares? Does this Saturday look any different than last Saturday? Oh, maybe you saw some different people. Maybe you went and did some particular thing that you didn't do last Saturday. But by and large, doesn't it look like every other Saturday? I mean, changing up even the smallest thing can be tough. I'm betting that today, I don't know what day you're listening to this, but I'm betting that today for breakfast, you are eating or you're going to eat or you have eaten the same thing that you did yesterday and the day before. And you likely woke up at the same time. And you likely did the same stuff in the first few hours of waking up that you have done every day for probably years and years. On and on and on and on it goes throughout the day, doing today what we've always done, even if what we've been doing isn't working so well. Frequently, I wish for a different day. Do you ever do that? A more beautiful day, a day where I don't fret about being right, a day where I don't shove all my chips to the middle of the table to let my strongest strengths try to soar. Just, you know, a day where I mostly get it right.
Gonna wash the dust off my soul. Gonna listen to some rock and roll. No cares, come what may. I'm making a beautiful day. Gonna drive my car to the sea. Swim out far, cause I believe that the waves will wash the gray away. I'm making a beautiful day. Let me hear you say,
His name is Josh Radin, R-A-D-I-N. 2015 record, $9.99 at iTunes. It's a duet with Sheryl Crow. Name of the record is Onward and Sideways. The name of the track is Beautiful Day.
My enemies into friends. What's broken gets stronger when it mends. When we all come together, this song will play. We'll sing, it's a beautiful day. And that's gonna be my beautiful day. Oh, oh, my, my. I'm learning to fly. Hey, hey, what's that you say?
We think we know until we learn that we really don't, and quite often it's a negative as well. And by that I mean that we don't think something will work. We defeat ourselves, or we don't think something makes a difference. We don't know it, but we think we do. I'm reminded of health issues or fitness. When I was a kid playing sports, I'd think I was in shape until I found out I wasn't. I guess kids today and kids that play sports in school are pretty much keeping in shape year round. We didn't, you know, we took the summer off and frolicked around, and then, you know, we would find out, yeah, you know, school started back and teams started getting formed. We're like, man alive, we're all just woefully out of shape. I see it in the gym pretty regularly. I'm a gym rat. I just don't look like, well, I look like a rat. I just don't look like a gym rat. The other day, a couple of guys that are doing jumps, and they would stack these portable decks. You may have seen these. If you go to a gym, you've seen them for sure. And I do some jumping stuff every now and again. Yeah. No, you're not going to find that on YouTube. These are big squares. They're big squares in various heights. And I guess the tallest one is, I would guess, I haven't gone up and measured them, but I'm guessing the tallest one is maybe 20 inches tall or so. And some go down to just a few inches. And so they've got just big stacks of these. And so these guys, they started stacking these up. And they stacked them up to where it was a pretty tall stack. I was on the other side of the gym, but it looked, I don't know. I mean, it was way taller. It was somewhere between their knees and their waist. And then they would begin to do a standing jump. They would just stand right in front of this stack, and then they would jump and land on top of it. Okay, that's great. So far, so good. One guy, he's clearly the better leaper of the two. I mean, you could tell from the first jump, this guy's going to be, if they're having a competition, he's winning. But, you know, the other guy, come on, it's two buddies. And so the other guy, he's committed, right? He's going to hang on. He's going to try to match everything that his buddy can do. And you could see the moment that his thinking didn't jibe with real knowledge. I mean, one of the guys, he gets a little 2-inch stack, and he puts that on top. They've been making the other one one guy's been making it just fine. The other guy's, he's made it, but it's been tougher. All of a sudden, radiating confidence. I mean, even some swagger. The one guy, he takes this leap, and he failed. I mean, 2 inches. And there, that's all she wrote. And he gestured to his buddy as if to say, here, let me try again. And he backs up, and he takes a deep breath, and he looks at it, and he lowers into a crouch, and he swings his arms, you know, to get as much momentum as possible. No, still not enough. I mean, he still failed. And that was that. 2 attempts, no more. He had reached his limits. Limits that he didn't think would hit him so soon, probably, because the buddy just kept on going. But in that moment, everything changed, all because of a couple of inches. I mean, it just shows you the slim margin between thinking and knowing. Somebody posted, I need to go find this. If I can find it, just go to the website and check it out. And if it's there, great. And if it's not, then it just means I didn't find it. But somebody posted somewhere. I don't remember where I saw it. They posted a video of a lady, and they're wanting her to jump up on this platform. Not quite like the one I'm describing, but it's in a gym. You can tell it's in a gym. And I mean, this thing is not tall at all. I would suspect that this thing came to maybe mid shin, not chin, shin. It was very low. And I don't even know why they're videoing this, but obviously they knew that she has some phobia. That's my assumption. There's something preventing this woman because she has walked up steps that are bigger than this thing. But she shakes her arms. I mean, she's getting all amped up. She's got her knees bent and doesn't even try. And this goes on and on and on. And it's just funny to watch as she's just trying to muster up the courage to just take the leap. And I'm sitting here thinking, there's no way that she can't make it. I mean, it's nothing. It's a stair step. Just one little bitty hop. It's not even a leap. It's more of a hop. She knew she couldn't do it. She thought she couldn't do it. She seemed to approach this thing knowing that she couldn't do it. Boy, that margin between thinking and knowing is really, really thin sometimes, isn't it? So the buddy in the gym, the other buddy, the one that was a better leaper, he keeps stacking these things up. Now, funny thing is, the buddy, the good leaper, he suddenly stopped stacking them up, which I thought was interesting. He never piled on more than he thought or knew that he could clear. I mean, I kept waiting for him to just, come on, just keep on stacking them up there, you know, kind of like a high jumper or one of these, pole vaulters or somebody like that. Let's see how high I can go. And I kept thinking that that's what this cat was going to do. And no, he didn't. But the look on his face showed that he was not about to follow his buddy and fail. Ah, there was the rub. I mean, it was just this instant flash, this epiphany for me. I thought, oh, okay, I get it. I get the game we're playing here. The game isn't to see how high I can jump. The game is I'm not going to do what my buddy did. I am not about to stack on even 2 more inches because I know my limitations. He was not going to fail in front of his buddy. He was not going to fail in front of complete strangers like me who might be watching. And so he never tested the limits. Well, at least he didn't on the day that I was watching. I guess he heard Clint Eastwood in the back of his head going, you know, man's got to know his limitations. Well, he did. But he had to have at some point, wouldn't you think? Because I'm sitting here watching him and I'm thinking, how else could he know how high he was jumping? How else could he know what his limits were if he had not sometime in the past reached them and figured out, well, okay, well, that's as high as I can go. Or maybe his body was just telling him, like the lady that I described. I don't know. I wonder, did he practice this somewhere else, someplace more private? Who knows? Truth is, the buddy thought he could make it until he couldn't. And I'm guessing that this guy knew more than his buddy. I'm guessing that he knew how high he could successfully jump. And so he stopped before he failed. For most of us, I guess we approach life much like he did. Things just stay the same. We jump the height that we know we can clear. I mean, we think we know. Maybe we're confident about something until we're compelled to learn better or different. No, that wasn't me. That's how the song starts. Yeah, weird, I know.
Why can't you just love me? Should I move on? Or should I wait? how'd you get so high above me? I reach higher every day. But nothing changes. No, it all just stays the same.
Like me, it's kind of reminiscent of John Lennon, isn't it? His name is Tobias Jesso Jr., J-E-S-S-O Jr. It's a 2015 record. $9.99 over at iTunes. The name of the record is Goon. The name of the song is Without You. Thinking about these two gym jumpers, and then later on I watched this video of this lady who's fearful of jumping, and I realize we care what other people see. Yeah, we do. And it's why, as Tobias sings, nothing seems to change. Because we care what people think about us. We care what people see of us. We care what people say about us. Girls do it, guys do it, the young people do it, the older of us, we do it too. Our decisions, they are often guided, I think, more by how we're going to look rather than how our lives might be impacted. Many years ago, I was among the elite Dr. Pepper fans on the planet, real Dr. Pepper, not diet. I wasn't abusive with it, but, you know, come on, abuse is relative, I guess. I woke up one day for some unknown reason and decided that I was going to give it up. I was going to give up drinking sodas entirely, cold turkey. I was in my late teens. I've done this before, since. I'd probably done it before that, but I don't remember. I just stopped. For over a year and a half, I didn't drink any sodas, including my beloved Dr. Pepper. And friends would pressure me. They would jab me with jokes and question my sanity, ask me, why are you doing it? And of course, I didn't have an answer. Not at all satisfied with the reason that I gave. Well, just because I want to. Something that stupidly simple, giving up Dr. Pepper, giving up sodas. I mean, something that is not monumental at all in the sense of accomplishment, but something that was enormous when it came to changing a long-time habit. But I was committed. And for that period of time, I didn't care what people thought. I just knew what I wanted to do. And I've thought about that ever since. I was probably 18, 19. I've thought about that, and I've wondered why I just didn't care. Was it because I was a teenager? Well, come on. Teenagers usually care a whole lot more about what other people think of them. So it couldn't have been that. Was it because it wasn't something that was terribly important? Well, tell 19-year-old Randy that Dr. Pepper's not important. And come on. Yeah, it, of course it was important. It's a big deal. Dr. Pepper was a daily diet requirement. Was it because the ramifications were impactful to me? No, not really. I mean, it was just this self-induced challenge. That's really what it was. I just wanted to see how long I could go without one. And I remember when I got started in a week and two, and you've done this before. You just kind of get on this roll and you just want to see how far you can go. Now that can have real negative impact because I'm thinking of all the stories that I've heard of anorexic folks and bulimic folks, and that same psychology kicks in. And so that same psychology can work for us or against us to just see how long we can go. How long can we hold out? How long can we keep doing this? And that was really fueling me at the time. Right now, as I'm talking, I'm having thoughts about what's possible for you. And I'm painfully aware that you have your doubts. And those are also, well, those are thoughts. They're negative thoughts, but they're thoughts. You're thinking that you're too young. You're thinking that you're too old. You're thinking that you're too uneducated. You're thinking that you may be overeducated. You think $100,000 of annual income is just impossible. Or you're thinking that there's no way I could survive on income as small as $100,000. You think what you eat doesn't matter to your health or how you feel. Or you're fully convinced it has everything to do with your health and how you feel. Beliefs, self-limiting beliefs, they're in play for all of us. Negative self-talk, it invades our brains. Yeah, daily, that's an understatement. More minutes of every day than not. Simultaneously, positive dreams, they can sweep over our imagination. You've done it. I've done it. Here's how it most manifests itself, I think, for many of us. Wouldn't it be great if I won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes and got $5,000-$7,000 a week for life? And then when I die, my wife gets it. Wouldn't that be great? It would be great. We ponder these dreams coming true. Wouldn't it be great if I won that HGTV house, blog cabin, or whatever it is? We worry about bad things happening. I mean, it's just enough to make us think that we're crazy. But we're not. No, mostly we're sane. Okay, well, not all of us are, but most of us are. We just think what we think, and we deem it as knowledge. We feel like knowledge. It is knowledge. No, it's knowledge. Like, I wish I knew the percentage that this economist said the Americans who think that China is the world superpower in global economy. It's just like that, though. It feels like it's knowledge, but it's not knowledge. Rarely do we consider that, you know, we could be wrong. We could be wrong. Or ask the question, what if? What if my thinking is wrong?
No matter how hard, no matter how tough, there is no turning back. Whatever curve life may throw, we're in it together. 'Cause you and I are building our dreams. They say impossible. They say impossible.
circumstances for worse or better. I'm no excuse to forfeit our dreams. They say impossible. They say it can't be done. Can't break us down cause we're unstoppable. They say too difficult that it could never work. They think that we've been trying for too long. And they can say
her name is Kate Earl. That's the name of the record as well. A 2009 CD in my collection that you can buy for $9.99 at iTunes. Anywhere digital downloads are sold. The name of the song is Impossible. Possibility, that's the word. Now, Miss Kate there, she sings the word impossible because that's an easier word. What if the thing that you think is impossible is quite possible? What if what you think is wrong? Let's come at it from a different angle, shall we? Sometimes going in an opposite direction is helpful, and I'm talking about those things that we think are impossible. I'll never get that job. She'll never go out with me. I'll never earn that much money. Blah, blah, blah. Instead, how about we change the conversation that we're having with ourselves? I mean, why not? I mean, it's not like we've got a whole lot to lose, really. We do have a lot to gain. I'll get that job, or I'll get one that's even better. Or she'll go out with me, and if she doesn't, I'll find somebody nicer, sweeter, prettier, fill in the blank. Or what if we say, I can earn that much and more? And these aren't just word games. They're dialogue that stem from our thoughts. And those thoughts form our truths, truths that sometimes aren't true at all. But instead, they're figments of our imagination. Try something. Not for me, but for yourself. Make a list of about 10 things that you think are absolutely true. Things that involve your ambitions, things that involve your goals, things that you consider beyond your reach. Don't sweat about the logic because, well, frankly, there probably isn't a whole lot of logic associated with it anyway. I mean, come on, remember what Zig Ziglar once said, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you learn to do it well. It is true. But some of this isn't learning. Some of this is thinking and converting what we think into what we know. You can't know until first you think. And I fear that the reason sometimes we know it's not going to work is because we've been so buried in thinking that it won't work. Okay, get that list. Get that list of 10 things that you just think are beyond your reach. Things that you would like to do, though. Got it in front of you? Start with one. Start with the first one. I mean, forget trying to figure out why you think that it is as you think. Who cares? Don't analyze it at all. Just look at it and think and say out loud if you want, that's not true. I don't know what yours says. Maybe yours says, I'll never earn that much money, or this particular endeavor, this business endeavor, it will never be that successful. Or I'll never feel good again. You know, my health is wrecked and I'm never going to feel... What if you just look at that and you say, that's not true? I'm rethinking my health. Well, to be fair, I've been rethinking my health for more than a decade now. And before I forget about it, I saw just last night, I saw Carrie Wilkerson. Carrie Wilkerson is the Barefoot Executive. She's a Dallas-Fort Worth. Well, she lives way outside of town, but she's in this neck of the woods. And she tweeted or she posted a photograph of her side-by-side photos of her face, one from 5 years ago and one from recent. And it's not like she was fat. Now, she was fat in a prior life, but 5 years ago she wasn't. And she talked about making just a small daily change. Noticeable difference. Well, I'm rethinking my health, and I have been doing that for more than a decade now, and that's why I go to the gym. I'm not terribly careful about my diet. I do try to lean toward moderation. Okay, well, I think I do. I could be terribly wrong, and I've been considering how wrong I may be. And maybe I'm not moderate at all. I just think I am. And maybe moderation has got nothing to do with it. Maybe I'm just eating junk, moderated junk. You know, moderated junk is still junk. You know, I mean, for example, I get up and I'm thinking, I probably am drinking too much caffeine. Now, I don't drink coffee, and I don't drink that much iced tea, except on Sundays. But I do drink caffeinated water. I drink well over, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I drink well over 100 ounces of water every single day. Some days I drink closer to 150 ounces of water. Yeah, that's a lot of water. And yeah, it's a lot of trips to the bathroom too. I often use a drink mix of a zero calorie caffeinated flavor. Well, actually, I think there's 5 calories in it. It's caffeinated flavor. And I never knew how much caffeine was in one mix, you know, one little packet that you pour into a 38-ounce bottle of water. A single serving of this drink mix is designed for 8 ounces of water, and I use it with 38. And so that made me think, it's not much. And then I looked at the nutrition listing on the back, and I saw that it's got 60 milligrams of caffeine. Well, I don't know if 60 mil. I mean, what does that mean to me? Like, I'm a chemist. Like, I would know. I could ask my son-in-law. He's a chemist. He would know. It's a generic brand of Crystal Light is what this is. And I had some Crystal Light as well. The Crystal Light has half as much caffeine as the generic. What's up with that? I mean, they're purposefully caffeinating this crap out of this generic one, probably to sell more. And it's probably worked. Crystal Light brand of this exact same mix, drink mix, has 30 milligrams, microgram, whatever of caffeine, 30 versus 60. Well, I started noticing the other day, I get up in the morning, I started noticing I'm sitting here on the keyboard and I'm noticing just a slight jitter with my left hand. And I'm like, what's this all about? And that's what got me looking at the caffeine. Compelling reason for me to rethink all this. I mean, had I not noticed some jittering while I was typing, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have paid attention to anything that I was thinking. In fact, I don't know that I was thinking, which that in and of itself is a problem for me. I'm trying to impose, I guess, some jitteriness to your thought process. Cause for me, it was like, what's going on here? I don't know what the jitteriness is for you, but whatever that is, I'm trying to supply it. Meaning I'm trying to get you to think about this, maybe for the first time. That's the purpose of that list and having you make the declaration. That's not true. What if you look at that list of these things that you're thinking that can't be done, and what if you just look at those and you say, that's not true? And again, your list, these should be statements of what you think is impossible or what you think is improbable. I mean, we could have easily made a list of something else that you think, like me thinking that my drink mix was of no consequence to my health or my fitness. I mean, come on, I'm drinking 100 ounces of water, and they want you, I mean, doctors want you to drink what, 40 or something? Well, I'm wrong. I think it does impact me. Closer examination has shown me that it does impact me. It's not just a thought. It is real, and now I know it.
Mm-hmm. can't pull out, but I don't doubt you'll pull me in. Sometimes it's fast, and sometimes I know that nothing lasts. It's streaming past, and I let go. So much is lost. How much endures? My world shook, but I ain't looking for a cure. Will you pick me up in your good?
His name is David Halley, H-A-L-L-E-Y. It's a CD in my collection. You can't buy it as a download. I look. It is available at Amazon as a CD for $12.65 or used from 99 cents. The name of the record is Broken Spell. The name of the song is It's Just As Well.
Just where I fell, I'll always be. It seems to me it's just as well.
It's all in our head. Well, it's in your head. Yeah, it's in my head, too. That's where it begins, and that's often where it ends. We hold on to these thoughts, choosing never to wrestle these things down. That's what I'm doing today. I'm asking you to take that list of the top 10 things that you think are true, that you think are probable, but they're holding you back. They're things that you really would like to have happen. Maybe they're negatively stated. I would suspect that they probably are. You may have written down something like, I'll never be able to finish that novel. Whatever they are, I'll never be able to lose that weight. Whatever they are, however you word them, I want you to grab them. I want you to wrap a chokehold around them. I want you to force them to tap out. I mean, we have to view these things on our list like opponents. They are not friends. They're not supporting us. They're not wishing you well. No, they are working to defeat you. And mostly they are winning. Unless we first view them for what they are. But until we do that, I don't think that we're ever going to be able to get free from them. And I'm not saying that we're going to get completely free from them. Yes, I know that we're supposed to be all kumbaya and stuff, but it just doesn't work. Sounds pleasant enough, but it takes a toll. It takes a toll. All the kumbaya stuff takes a toll because it makes us soft. It forces us to not fight for ourselves. It makes us feel like losers, which makes us behave like losers. And mostly, I suspect, we're worried We're like the guy in the gym looking around. We're worried about what people are going to think. We're worried about what people are going to say. People that have no influence in our life at all, other than we just, maybe we know they're there or we suspect that they're there. Anger is good. Anger is good sometimes. Yeah, in moderation and directed toward the right thing, toward the right person, toward the right circumstance. And I'm pushing you. I'm urging you to get angry. Get angry enough to take positive steps to improve your life. Get angry enough at that list and about what you think and move toward knowing that you could be wrong. You could be able to finish that novel if you just get off your backside and finish it. You could be able to improve your fitness. You could be able to improve your health if you would just quit surrendering to it, and if you'd be proactive, and if you would consider that maybe you've had it wrong all this time. Maybe like China, you've got a Europe. You're thinking it's China. All the while, it's Europe. It's possible. It is just possible. I want you to focus on courage and narrow confidence. Let me explain this. Courage, well, I don't think I need to explain that. But narrow confidence. Find an area of your life, one particular area that you really want to achieve something. I don't know what that is. You pick it. That one area, carve that one area out. And here's how I know to get confidence. It's the only thing I know to get confidence, and that is to work hard and prepare. Work hard and prepare and have narrow confidence in this area. You want to write the novel? I mean, I know people, they want to start a podcast. They want to start a blog. They want to learn to shoot photos. I don't care. What you pick it. It's your thing. This is your life. But let's say you want to finish that novel. Let's say you want to start the novel. What do you need to do? Focus on that. Get narrow confidence in that one area. And just refuse to lose. Turn the light on, and turn the light on in that one little area of this dark attic of your life. And shine the light there as brightly as you can for as long as you can.
Oh boy, this heart in my chest beats for you now. Oh boy, we hope for the best, but it's true now. Baby, come back to me. Let me make up for your family. Oh boy, we hope for the best. I'll be the light in the attic for you. I'll be the one that comes through. I'll wait up all night if I have to. I'll be the light in the attic for you. By you, I refuse. Come back to me, then we're even. I refuse, I refuse to lay your demons, overthrow the kingdoms that I built with you. Oh Lord, we hope for the best. I'll be the light in the attic for you.
Her name is Samantha Taggart. 2015 record, $7.92, where downloaded music is sold. The name of the album is Swallow the Key. The name of the song is Light in the Attic.
Remind me not to be sad.
I'm going to tell you to follow your path, and I'm going to tell you to do what fuels you. I would talk about passion and all that, but there's enough talk about all that. I don't know what fuels you. I catch myself weekly telling not just people in general, but especially clients. I do executive coaching and consulting and work for CEOs and business owners. And I catch myself telling these people and their leadership teams, your energy, and you are a finite amount of energy, and you really have to manage that, which means the toxic people that destroy us, rob us of our energy, sometimes prevent us from making some of these things that we think might could come true, but we have tremendous doubts and we really don't think they'll come true. And so we don't go in all in on making them come true because, well, we don't have enough energy for it. We've been too drained by, you know, all the leeches in our life, people, things, activities that rob us of that, take us away from it. I'll tell you that professionally, and one of the things that's on my mind, I embarked on something some months ago. I embarked on something that I thought I wanted to do. Thought I wanted to do it. Got the opportunity to do it and began to do it. Had a lot of self-doubt early on, overcame that, fought through it, and then realized I felt a little bit like a dog chasing a car. The car stops and all of a sudden, now what are you going to do, dog? Well, the car stopped and I realized, you know, I don't even know why I'm chasing this car. This isn't even a car I want to chase. And so I walked away from it. I walked away from it and I'm kind of in the early stages of sort of reinventing myself, at least so far as a personal brand goes. I'm not reinventing myself as far as what I'm going to do or any services or things that I'm going to offer, but I'm just wanting to change the conversation because for me, I'm reaching a point. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, listen, I love you and I'm glad that you're listening to me, but when it comes to decisions that I have to make as far as my career and my profession and what I'm going to do to serve people, I don't much care. I don't care what you think. I know myself well enough that I got to go the way I got to go. And I don't know about you, but I think it's high time that we all get kind of sick and tired of, and listen, I'm not talking about being an employee versus being an owner. I'm not going there at all. There isn't one size fits all. I'm just talking about being congruent with who you are. And I'm talking about changing our thinking to knowing that we can be a better version of ourselves. We can do better. And that the people that we really love, the people that are near and dear to us, and that person that we have to live with all the time, no, not her, no, not him, you, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, the boy or girl in the mirror, we've got to live with ourselves. We've got to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And I think that's why it's so critical for us to change our thinking. I think it's critical. You know, we've got to wake up to a new day. We've got to figure out, okay, today's the day.
a fool at this late day to heed a voice that says that you can be great. I heard it young, now I hear it again. It says you can be better than you've ever been. Don't want to waste what I have to give and all of the time that I've left to live. Don't want to waste what I have to give and any of the time I've got left. I can do more than I thought I could. Work brings more luck than knocking on wood. There's random bad and random good. Work brings more good luck, good luck.
He's John Gorka. 2001 CD, available for $9.99, The Company You Keep. Name of the song is Morning Side. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you clicked play. I hope you subscribe. You want to support the podcast? Two things, and in this order. Join the Facebook group. There's a link over the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. You want to support the podcast? Okay, I'll let you buy me an iTunes gift card. I buy the music that you hear played here. I urge you to buy it too. We need to support these people that are creative and artistic and musical. And I don't know about you, but boy, they changed my life. And I hope in some small way that I can help change yours. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.
It's random bad and random good. Work brings more good luck, good luck. Better be off, I've got dreams to dream, though it seems uphill and a little extreme. But if I can find hope in this fading light, then I'll find you on the morning side. If I can find hope in this fading light, then I'll find morning side. Don't want to waste what I have to give and all of the time I've left to live. Don't want to waste what I have to give and any of the time I've got left. I can do more than I thought I could. Work brings more luck than knocking on wood. It's random bad and random good. Work brings more good luck, good luck.
Boy, I know it's been too long since I have been with you. I was looking the other day and realized that it was the 9th of August, and today is the 27th. My apologies, but summer has a way of doing that. You know, you get busy and things happen and all that. I'm going to leave you with a track from a 2011 CD in my collection. The name of the group is Sleepy-Eyed Fox. There's a band name for you. I feel sometimes like a sleepy-eyed fox. The name of the CD is Weary Hearts. $9.99 everywhere downloaded music is sold. And the track title sort of tells you everything you need to know about this last bit of encouragement. Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gained is the name of the song. I want you to really think about today's show. Yeah, I want you to think about every show, but I really want it to have a positive impact on you. I want you to take away the everything is hard until it's easy and don't let hard scare you away. Don't be too fearful to jump. Just because another 2-inch pad got stacked on top, give it a go. Give it a go. What's the worst thing that can happen? You fall? People are going to laugh at you? Who cares what these people think? Why do we let what people think matter to us? It doesn't matter. Chase whatever dream you want to chase. Now, you remember I started out talking about your talent, your aptitude. I'm not encouraging you to chase some false dream. I'm not encouraging you to try to be something that is just physically beyond your capability. But there are so many things that we do want to do, and they are completely within the realm of what is physically possible for us. But like the lady trying to jump, she just couldn't bring herself until it seemed like an eternity to even give it a try. And then when she tried it, guess what? Yeah, she landed it. Sleepy-Eyed Fox, Weary Hearts, a 2011 recording. Name of the song is Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gained. See you next time.